This is a Collider.com audio interview.
What has the last year or two been like for you? Because I would imagine that you you strive to get those roles, and all of a sudden you're sort of...
Got some of them.
Yeah, it's crazy.
it's an embarrassment of riches. It's been amazing. And what? I didn't know, you know, yeah. This sort of, I was going from one to the other, going, oh man, this is, I hope this works because I'm wiped out and I am a little, they're all so different, you know, and so little time between each one of them. So to have them, and then to have them all sort of like coming out one right after the other, and two of them here has been like, yeah, it's been amazing.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. I saw this film back at Sundance.
All right.
And thought it was fantastic.
Great.
And I loved your work in it. And it deals with some pretty serious shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and especially in recently, over the last month or two, even more so.
Yeah.
I don't want to go, you know, I'm not trying to. But
yeah, exactly.
What, taking on this role, were you nervous about it more than others? Or was it sort of, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's in my hand, my ass is on the line a little bit. I mean, it's definitely not a safe role, and then it's Maya's father, which has its own, you know, responsibility. But I was also, you know, I felt like I loved the character. You know, even in spite of his bipolar, I love that character, and I saw a place that I could really do a lot of different things in the course of one film. There's humor, there's pathos, there's, you know, scary stuff, and there's light, beautiful stuff, and underneath it all was really, I just think, a sense of love. And his family, and the way they dealt with him, and the way he dealt with them. And so, you know, it's a movie that I've been trying to get made with Maya for 3 years, and it just so happened to finally get financing right at this particular moment. So it's something that, you know, in a lot of ways I'd already sort of been working on in my mind, and very excited to see finally come together. But when we got into it, yeah, it's scary. It's not easy material.
Do you still get nervous when you're on set throughout a production, or are the nerves most strong the first day and then you sort of feel like I got it?
I'm very, very nervous in the beginning. And then I get in there and, you know, I start doing my work and I feel more comfortable, but then I start to get insecure about the work somewhere along the way. And so then it's not nerves as much as it is. It's like, do I know what I'm doing? Is this right? Maya, I'm constantly sort of checking in on, like, is this working? Are we in the right zone? It's an interesting tightrope walk because, you know, in some regards, I've been doing this a long time and I have a lot of experience and I should know what I'm doing. But also at the same time, I'm sort of, as an actor, you want to remain vulnerable. Like you don't want to always have all the answers, and you want to sort of be finding things in the moment with your fellow actors, and so that leaves you a little bit out there, you know, you're sort of getting rid of your protections and or your shtick, or like, this is what I normally do and everyone looks to me for this and I know how to do this and I know people love this. But when you're trying to do character work that's far from you or different from what people expect from you, you're sort of in territory that is unchartered and you don't know how it's playing all the time. So then the little bit of insecurity starts to come up, and for me it's a lot. So that's interesting, right?
100%. I'm very curious how you've changed as an actor with your preparation from when you first got started to what you're doing now? Do you maintain a similar routine, or has that routine been streamlined through all the roles you've had?
Well, each sort of role kind of, I feel like, takes you on a different journey based on who that character is. Or, you know, I'm thinking of Eternal Sunshine, you know, and I'm like, oh, I want to learn how to play the bass a little bit, you know, I'll like daydream. The one thing I do is I daydream a lot about the character, and then something will say, oh, head this way with this, or head this way with that. So it takes you on a different path. For this one, it was a lot like digging into to Cam's videos. He made a lot of like Super 8 movies, like hours, 50 hours of Super 8 movies. And so watching those were really informative to me about who he was and his point of view. And a lot of them are him in a full-on manic phase video, you know, shooting himself, which was immensely helpful. I guess over the years, it's become more refined. I know where to go quickly to get what I need, I think, as an actor. I started using dreams more in the past few years, which is not mystical or anything like that, but I just have found that I've been using that as a tool to give me another point of view towards the work, and it's often surprising, but really helpful. And that's been something new that I've been doing over the past few years. That's still an expression of yourself. It's so funny. We have this strange disconnection from our dreams, but there's really, it's another tool. You're still working, oddly enough, on the same project, and your dreams are kind of, can give you another vantage point about a project that your conscious mind doesn't necessarily see.
It's your subconscious coming through.
Yeah, and it's very helpful. And so that's been interesting, because a few years ago, I started to feel like I was butting up against a limitation of just the experience that I'd had in life, which is not small in any regard, but I was looking for something that wasn't in my direct line of vision, you know, and that led me to some of this dream work, and that's been really, really helpful and refreshing.
You've been involved in the project, as you said, for many years. From when you first got involved to what people are going to finally see on screen, did the direction of the film change, the story, or has it always been what we're seeing?
Well, it was a bigger budget in the beginning, so there were bigger, there was South Station in Boston, you know, it was all Boston, so there was the more wealthy parts of Boston. So the only changes that have happened to the script really have been to make it cheaper to make. And other than that, it's pretty much stayed almost completely intact. There was some going back and forth about what the beginning was going to be, and the end of the movie was going to be, and were there going to be two sets of sisters? Was there going to be a younger version of sisters and then pop into an older version of sisters towards the end of the movie? And that was the only major change that's happened in the 3 or 4 years that we took to get here today to TIFF.
I have a few other fun questions, I hope.
Yes.
I got to work in.
Of course.
Number one, you know how much I love Brothers Bloom.
Yes.
I've said it repeatedly.
Yes. I just reached out to Ryan recently, by the way.
Well, and this is where I'm going with this.
Yes.
You're in a lot of stuff. You're very busy.
Yeah.
But how much do you personally want to be in a Star Wars movie?
Desperately. So my email to Ryan after all these years was, Ryan, congratulations. Congratulations on everything you've been doing. And by the way, if there's a part in Star Wars, please, anything, please consider considering me. to join you.
Are you of the mindset that, because it's obviously going to be either stormtroopers or masked creatures or whatever, say there's not a big role, are you a huge enough fan that you would be willing to wear the mask for one day and just be in the background just to be on set? Or it
possibly,
needs to be a role?
depending on timing. And I'd love hanging out with Ryan, so that's interesting to me. But I would like a role.
I think you might have built up to it enough with the street cred.
I hope so.
Right.
It'd be nice to have something. And even, honestly, a CGI role.
Yeah, there's a lot of motion capture now being done.
Yeah, I'm thrilled about motion capture, and it's been a journey for me to get there. But after this last Avengers and the work we were doing with that, and the advancements of the technology even since the first Avengers, I am so excited about where we can go with motion capture, and I hope that I'm on the front line of this kind of new frontier of creativity and performance that is completely boundless. So definitely be interested in doing something like that.
Especially after Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, you see that and it like jaw on ground.
Yes.
You know?
Unbelievable.
Yes.
So I worked with Andy at the Imaginarium. I know where he's headed. I'm thrilled about it, and I feel like we did some of that work for the new Avengers.
Are you a little bit surprised at the worldwide success of Now You See Me? Did you think it was going to do what it did? Because
I had no idea. I not to the level that it did. I just didn't have any idea. And when I was making it, I was like, this is fun, and I love Louis, and you know, he knows how to shoot this stuff in a way that is appealing to people. But I had no idea it was going to be what it's turned out to be.
You guys recently, in fact, yesterday, they dated the sequel. So I have to ask, I'm assuming you're part of the sequel, are you not?
As of this moment, I am part of the sequel, and we are starting to shoot in November.
I was going
to
say, I would imagine that this was a contractual thing where everyone signed on.
Unless something goes terribly off kilter between now and the next couple of weeks when a script comes out, I'm in. Everyone's in, but you know, we're still in a kind of a wobbly space. So.
Well, I mean, I'm gonna throw this out there. I don't know who's directing the picture. Do you?
I don't know for sure. That's one of the things that.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the big question mark that I think a lot of people are wondering, because clearly there's a lot of fans who like the Magician World and like the movie.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yes, and are going to have something to say about it when it's finally decided upon.
100%.
Yeah.
What has it been like for you? This is going to be not even a movie question, but what has it been like for you sort of losing anonymity, especially after being in something like Avengers, which makes like 2 billion worldwide? I would imagine that wherever you go, it's completely changed.
It's definitely different. And I appreciate, you know, the love and people expressing that. I do still like to disappear in a crowd, and I relish that. I relish being able to watch the world in a way that the world's not watching me. I'm still, believe it or not, a pretty actually shy person, so it's been just the past 6 months have been like. More apparent that something's different than it was, than it used to be.
I can't even imagine. Something that very much excites me is Thomas McCarthy's
Spotlight.
Yes, and I've seen looks what to be an incredible cast dealing with incredible subject matter.
Yeah.
In Boston, no less.
Yeah.
Is this definitely a project you're a part of?
Yes.
What can you tell people?
Oh yeah, we're in rehearsal. Right, we were in rehearsal. I was in rehearsal just before I came here. I'm going now to meet with Mike Resendez, who's the character I'm playing from the Spotlight team. I'm meeting him day after tomorrow. I'm going to Boston to do some research with him, and then we start shooting on the 25th.
Really soon?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's locked and loaded and ready to roll. We're deep in it.
I'm talking to Thomas tomorrow, actually.
Oh, you are. I love him.
Believe me, sir, I'm bringing it up.
Yeah, oh, please do.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know about the project. So could you maybe talk a little bit about and why you wanted to be a part of it?
It's Tom McCarthy, so you're immediately what's he doing? And it's about the Boston Globe had a investigative journalist wing that would do long range investigative journalism for the Boston Globe, things that would go many months sometimes, but 6 or 7, 8 weeks at a bite. There's very few newspapers that are actually able to do this anymore, but because of that, they were able to break the priest molestation scandals that happened in the 90s that led from community or what appeared to be just single events of priests molesting kids that what after some investigative reporting revealed to be in systemic denial and protectionism by the Catholic Church over these priests who are molesting kids. And not only were they defending them or covering for them, they were moving them out of one parish with a bunch of kids into another parish with a bunch of kids where they did the same thing. And these guys were serial sex offenders. They were raping kids. And it was being covered up by, at that time, cardinal law, which was led to a whole international investigation and then into all the way up to the Vatican. And so it's an important story. What Tom's interesting take is on it is, why did it take so long for someone like the Boston Globe or any other news agency to break it? And he's also dealing with this kind of insider-outsider. There's a great line in the movie, says it takes a village to raise a kid. It also takes a village to let child molestation continue. And so it's very self-reflective about the media, about the culture of the political scene in Boston at the time, also the culture of the Globe. It's everyone has a little piece in it.
Yeah, also he put together, and I know I have to wrap with you, but he put together a fucking hell of a cast.
An amazing cast.
It's like a who's who.
It's pretty beautiful.
Right. How early on did you sign on? Were you at the beginning of it, or?
Yeah. I mean, we've been talking about it for months, and I was very honored that he came to me and to play this just amazing investigative journalist who's, you know, like a blue collar, came up as a blue collar, you know, social justice investigative reporter on the streets all the way up to the height of, you know, the Boston Globe and a Pulitzer Prize. Mike Resendez is like a fantastic role.
100%. I got to wrap. Thank you so much for your time.
Good seeing you again,
nice
man.
To see you.
Always.